before you, and we ask at this time that you'll anoint your word to the point, Father, that it has never been anointed before. It is your word. May it search our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits. That is there anything that is unclean in us, O God? Ruach HaKodesh, open our eyes to see. And once our eyes are open, may we acknowledge that we're lost without you removing the sin from our lives, O God. May we not argue with you. May we not debate. May we do nothing, O Lord, but admit the truth that you revealed to us. May you produce true fruits of repentance in our hearts, O God, that we can have a right relationship with Abba, our Father, Yeshua HaMashiach, our elder brother, our Redeemer, our High Priest, our King, and our Bridegroom, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the one who is perfecting us and causing us to agree to put our carnal nature to death, that we may rise up a new life, and that Messiah Yeshua may live his life in and through us. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. This message is entitled Kol Nidre Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, 5776. Now you may be saying, well, I thought today was 2015. Well, according to God's calendar, it's 5776. What does Yom mean in Yom Kippur? It means day. It means Day of Atonement. That is Hebrew, which means kapar, which means to cover, to purge, to cleanse, to purify, or to cover and to conceal. The Lord declared to us, though our sins be as scarlet, He shall make them what? White as snow. Amen? That's not of our own righteousness, not any type of works, nothing that we would do. Because as going to synagogue as a boy, we were taught that. Through prayers, through acts of charity, and through acts which seemed to be right in our lives, that we could gain salvation. But what about the blood sacrifice? That's the most important thing. First, that we would be atoned from our sins by the blood sacrifice of the Messiah. Then we can pray righteously. Then we can do righteous acts. Then we can do righteous acts of charity one to another. This year begins at sundown tonight and ends sundown tomorrow, Yom Kippur. These are the fall high holy days. Rosh Hashanah, New Year. It began sundown, Elul 29, September 13th, Sunday. Yom Teruah, Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Trumpets, began sundown, Elul 29, September 13th, Sunday. The next 10 days were the days of awe, days of repentance. But you know what? There are a lot of preachers and teachers today say, you don't have to repent anymore. Once you've repented once, that's enough. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. Amen? God desires us to show fruits of repentance one to another and to Him all the days of our lives. One day I shall be delivered from my carnal nature, and that is when I'm fully dead. I look forward to that day because that's something I've been wrestling with my whole lifetime. Being born of the Spirit, but also being born of the flesh. Let's continue. Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, begins at sundown, Tishri 14, September 14th, Sunday at sundown. Tishri 22nd through October 5th, Monday, it ends. Yom Kippur is the most sacred of all our holy days on Adonai's calendar. These are the sacred holy days that are but shadows that reveal Messiah Yeshua. And as I said earlier, Constantine ripped the people off. The congregation, mostly of the Gentiles, he ripped them off. Because he said, if you'll go on, you'll celebrate these feasts. And he said, they were just simply Jewish feasts. He said, what you're doing is you're whoring after those who put Messiah to death. But what does the scripture say? It says this, I lay down my life. No man take it from me. That's what the scripture says. So, all of us, every man, woman, and child who's ever lived on the face of this earth, have all sinned but one, Yeshua, our Messiah. We have all put him to death by our sins. But he gladly went and did that on our behalf. Amen? Amen. Let us now turn to Vayikra Leviticus chapter 16. I don't want to embarrass anyone here tonight. But you know what's really embarrassing? How many times when I grew up as a young man at age 12, I was in the process of being a bar mitzvah, and the rabbi asked me, he said, Who is Yehu to you? Who is this Yeshua to you? During that time, I received Yeshua as my Messiah, and I came back and told the rabbi about it, and he said, sorry, Frank, I'm happy for you, but you cannot be bar mitzvah. All right? And so then I started attending different churches at that time. But you know what? We have to turn to God's Word that leads us into all truth. So now here we are in Leviticus chapter 16. And Adonai spoke with Moshe after the death of Aaron's two sons. When they tried to sacrifice before Adonai and died, Adonai said to Moshe, tell your brother Aaron not to come at just any time into the holy place beyond the curtain, in front of the Ark of the Covenant, which is the Ark, so that he will not die because I appear in the cloud over the Ark cover. The Lord appears. Adonai appears. Here is how Aaron is to enter the holy place. With a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering, he is to put the holy linen tunic on and have linen shorts next to his bare flesh, and have the linen sash wrapped around him, and be wearing a linen turban. They are the holy garments. He is to bathe his body in water and put them on. He is to take from the community of people of Israel two male goats for the sin offering, one ram for the burnt offering. Aaron is to present the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself to make atonement for himself and his household. A bull. He's to take what is most precious, a bull. Continuing. Aaron is to present the bull for his sin offering, which is for himself to make atonement for himself and his household. Aaron, the high priest, was a sinner. So was his household. Let's continue. He is to take two goats and place them before Adonai at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then Aaron is to cast lots for the two goats, one for Adonai and the other for Azazel. Aaron is to present the goat whose lot fell to Adonai and offered as a sin offering. But the goat whose lot fell to Azazel is presented alive to Adonai to be used for the making atonement over it by sending it away into the desert for Azazel. Aaron is to present the bull of the sin offering for himself. He will make atonement for himself and his household. He is to slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before Adonai, with his hands full of grounded fragrant incense, and bring it inside the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before Adonai so that the cloud from the incense will cover the ark cover, which is over the testimony, in order that he will not die. He's to take some of the bull's blood and sprinkle it with his finger on the ark cover toward the east in the front of the ark cover. He's to sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Not once, seven times. Seven means perfection. So what he was doing is he wasn't being made perfect himself, but the symbol of the blood being upon the ark of testimony was complete and holy. That's why the Lord desired for him to do it seven times. Next, he is to slaughter the goat for the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring it inside the curtain and do with its blood as he did with the bull's blood, sprinkling on the ark cover in front of the ark cover. He will make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the people of Israel, because of their transgressions and all their sins. He is due to do the same for the tent of the meeting. Is there with them right in the middle of their uncleanliness? No one is present to be present there in the tent of the meeting. From the time he enters a holy place to make atonement until the time he comes out, having made atonement for himself out to the altar that is before Adonai, and make atonement for it. For he said, take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on the horns of the altar. He is to sprinkle some of the blood on it with his fingers 7 times, thus purifying it and setting it apart from uncleanliness of the people of Israel. And when he has finished anointing the holy place, the tent of the meeting and the altar, he is to present a live goat. Aaron is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess all the transgressions and the crime and the sins of the people of Israel. Picture this, if you will. He is to press his hands with all his strength and confess the sins of Israel upon that scapegoat. Let's continue here. And after this, he is to put them on the head of the goat and then send it away into the desert with a man appointed for the purpose. The goat will bear all their transgressions away to some isolated place. He is to let the goat go into the desert. Yeshua was not only the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world by his blood, but it says that while he was there at the Mount of Olives, it was there that all the sins of the world came upon him. That's why he began to sweat with great droplets of blood. And remember this, my brothers and sisters. It was Yeshua that was there when you were formed in your mother's womb. He knows all your days. Every sin that was ever committed up to that very moment, and all the sins yet to be committed in the future, were placed on Yeshua. All those sins. And that's why he cried out in his humanity, Father, if there be any other way. But Yeshua knew, because he was God in human flesh, he knew this, that there was no other way. There was no other lamb that could be the sacrifice. No other lamb that could be the Ahazel. And if you study that word Ahazel, that word means hell. For what does it say? After Yeshua died and was raised, before he was raised, he went down to where? To Hades. To Abraham's bosom. And he said, here I am, the one who was promised you, the Messiah, the one who would take away the sins of the world. All those our forefathers who had died and foremothers in faith had died up to that point, not having the fullness of the redemption, were then able to see the Lamb who was crucified on their behalf. And it says in the scripture that he took those people with him. And they're evermore with him now. That's the hope that we have. Last year, I buried a grandson, Samuel. The year before, I buried a granddaughter, Autumn. And I was preparing messages each time. The Lord kept reminding me about King David. When King David fell into sin of his own full knowledge with Bathsheba, both of them, and they committed adultery. And David went on to commit murder, and she became pregnant. But the scripture that jumped out to me the most was this. When David, after his time of fasting and prayer, praying and interceding for that child's life, once he heard the child was dead, he rose up from his feet. He washed his face. He asked for something to eat. And they thought, well, certainly he's going to do something crazy right now. And they said, why now are you eating? He said to them this, that child will not come back to me, but I'll go to that child. He believed in the hope of the resurrection of the dead. And so when I laid my Autumn into the grave, and the very next year I laid my Samuel in the grave, I was able to give those who were around there those comforting words. We can't bring this child back to us. And the following year, this child back to us. But we can go to them. The hope of the resurrection. Are those just simple words? Or are those really what we believe? Do we find comfort in God's word? Or they're just nice poems? God's word is so enriched for us. This is a time of redemption. Adonai said to Moshe, for the life of the creature is in the blood, and I've given it to you on the altar to make atonement for yourselves, for it is the blood that makes atonement because of life. Ezekiel chapter 18, 4. Look, all lives belong to me. Both the parents' life, their soul, and the child's life, their soul, are equally mine. So it is the person who sins himself must die. Sin separates mankind that leads to death from God. Romans 6:23, for what one earns from death, from sin is death, but eternal life is what one receives as a gift from God. In union with Messiah Yeshua our Lord, Abba Father God's love made a remedy because he did not want to write off guilty mankind. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that soon after you receive the Messiah and you were washed by his precious blood and then you went out and you sinned yet again, that he didn't simply write you off and say, that's enough? You're treading on my blood right now, my son? Are you kidding me? Is this how you treat my son? No, but he shows us mercy and grace. Amen? Yom Kippur is a highlight or the foreshadowing of Yeshua's complete fulfillment by establishing a substitutionary sacrificial atonement. The word atonement has been described as at-one-ment with God. That is fellowship and relationship. Though you and I have never deserved it. It sickens me to admit this to you. I have sinned against the Lord time and time and time again. And I've been walking and serving Him for over 32 years. It sickens me that I continue to do that. But each time, you know what the Lord reveals to me? That I'm dying to that old nature. And each time, if I walk in the provision of His grace and mercy, that I can overcome that sin, capture every thought, and bring it into subjection and obedience to Messiah. Amen? That's where the victory is. The Tanakh speaks of the substitutionary sacrificial atonement, the animal slain and the blood was shed. God accepts the blood sacrifice as an atonement for mankind's sins. The sacrifice for sin is in the Tanakh, was a foreshadowing of Yeshua's sacrifice, found in Messianic Jews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 4. Let's turn there quickly. What I was saying earlier, but I didn't finish the thought. It's amazing how many men and women of God come into the house of the Lord and they do not have a copy of their scriptures. The Lord says, continue to rebuke my people because we are what? We're called to be what? People of the word. Amen? There's coming a time when the enemy will take these books from us. And you'll be going by your memory. So right now you have an opportunity. And I've been rebuked many, many times as a young believer where ministers would walk up to me and say, Frank, where's your Bible? Where's your sword? You're going into battle. Don't you know that? But I said, well, I'm in the house of the Lord. That doesn't matter because that's where Satan sends the demons. demonic possessed people, but the house of the Lord. You should have your sword always with you. And you should have many swords. Amen? We're Messianic Jews, chapter 10, verse 4. And if you're offended by that, take it up with the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. Verse 4. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. That is why on coming into the world, he says, it has not been your will to have animal sacrifice and a meal offering. Rather, you have prepared for me a body. No, you have not been pleased with burnt offerings and sin offerings. Then I said, look, in the scroll of the book, it is written about me. I have come to do your will. In saying this first, you neither willed nor you were pleased with animal sacrifices, meal offerings or burnt offerings or sin offerings. This is which are offered in accordance with the Torah. Then look, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first system in order to set up a second. In its connection with this, will that we have been separated for God and made holy. Once and for all, through the offering of Messiah Yeshua's body. Through his body. You are holy, so every time the enemy lies to you and says you're pathetic, look, Frank, you've sinned yet again. The Lord reminds me that I and you are holy. We're separate by the blood of the Lamb. It's to him to receive all glory and honor. Israel's history with God always required including a covering of blood for their protection from sin. During the time of Pesach, as God was gathering our people together to leave Egypt, he said, gave that sign of the lamb. Every father was to take a lamb, but if you were from a poor family, you're to join with your neighbor. And you were to cut that lamb's neck and pour out its blood. And then take its blood and apply it to the doorposts. How many times during the week are we applying the blood of the lamb to our eyes for what we've been watching? To our ears for what we have been listening to. To our feet to which it has carried us towards sin. And to our hands that we've grasped what is unholy. Let's continue. Then on giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai through the pattern of the Mishkan tabernacle, Adonai said to Moshe, you are to make it according to everything I show you in the design of the tabernacle and the design of its furnishings. This is how you are to make it. Then they look forward to the complete fulfillment through Yeshua, salvation's perfect and complete blood sacrifice. That Mishkan that Moses and the artisans built was an exact replica of the one that is in heaven. And that's why when Yeshua, when he rose from the dead, and Miriam came up to him and just wanted to hang on to him, he said, please do not touch me because I've not ascended to the Father yet. He was going to ascend and bring what? His precious blood, so he could bring that to the Mishkan and lay it upon the altar. Like some of you say, what are you talking about here? Don't you realize this? That the Ark of the Covenant that was given to Moses was simply a replica that was placed in heaven? And that Yeshua, who did not have to offer a bull for his sacrifice, for him and his extended family, was able to go immediately into the Holy of Holies in heaven. To go and take his own blood and there sprinkle it seven times on the mercy seat. On the testimony. My brothers and sisters, open up the book of Leviticus and read it. Know it. Know the book of Messianic Jews, the book of Hebrews. Because I tell you this, in our lifetime, we will see the erection of the third temple. It's coming. It's coming. And it says this, that the sacrifices will continue. PETA's going to be angry with Israel because they're going to begin to offer the sacrifices that are commanded. Amen? And so the priests, they're already training. Some of you have been to Israel. You've seen the golden menorah. You've seen all these different instruments there. The altar of sacrifice. You've seen all these things. But yes, there is no Ark of the Covenant. But you know what's amazing? If they don't even find the original, that doesn't matter, because in the book of Leviticus, it tells them exactly how to build a new one. Amen? And right now, there is a red heifer in the state of Texas that's being watched. And I believe this, it's going to be taken, and it's going to be offered on the sacrifice, and it's going to be burned completely, and its ashes are going to be taken, and it's going to be used for dedicating the new temple of the Most High God. Amen? And some of you may be saying, well, that means then the Jewish people are going to run back to the temple sacrifices. So what? For their eyes to be opened, for the veil to be removed from their eyes, the temple has to be built again. The sacrificial system has to be continued, started over again. The priests have to be doing their duties again. During Rav Shaul's time, if you read the book of Acts, it says this, that there were many Jewish men that said of him, they accused of him. He said, you're trying to teach our people not to follow Torah. And so if you read the book of Acts, it says this. Some of them, they came up to him, they said, Brother Shaul, Brother Saul, you need to go and cut your hair and do the Nazarite vow, offered as a burnt offering to the Lord. And so as our Jewish people see the third temple being erected and the commands of God that say, bring a blood sacrifice. See, what we need to do is have our Jewish people flee from the rabbinical Judaism and go back to biblical Judaism. Amen? So then when the temple is established, the priests are back, the sacrifices are going. What does Revelation say? That'll go on for a period of time. Then what's going to happen? The Antichrist is going to rise, and he's going to claim himself as God. Then our people will be driven out of Jerusalem. And that's part of the Lord's redemption. They will be persecuted. And what will they cry out when they're being persecuted? Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Zechariah speaks of that. That they will cry out for their Redeemer. And they'll see that the temple sacrifice is not sufficient. And why is God allowing the anti-Messiah, the one who claims to be the one true God, in the holy temple? And then the veil shall be removed from their eyes, and they will see Messiah descending. And the scripture says this, they will see him, and they'll begin to mourn, just as someone has lost a dear son. What will they see when they see him? They'll see scars on his face. They'll see the nails that are in his hands and his feet. They'll see the spear in his side, and they will mourn. And they will see him for who he is, the promised Messiah, Yeshua. That's what's part of God's time frame. So do not be alarmed once the third temple is established. Do not be alarmed when majority of Jewish people go back and they start fleeing rabbinical Judaism. And they go back into the temple worship. Because that's a time for them to draw closer to the Lord. Because it says this in the scripture, that when Yeshua rose from the dead, there are many Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes that received Yeshua as the promised Messiah. So do not be alarmed. We're not going backwards, but we're going forward. Amen? And this is all part of God's plan. Because I know there are many believers, when I speak about the third temple, they say, my goodness, you're going back to Judaism. I said, that's right, to biblical Judaism. Amen? This is all the Lord's provision. This is all His plans. And we're to rejoice. Because just as Rav Shaul could go to the temple and worship the Lord, see, because he wasn't denying Messiah's sacrifice by going and worshiping with his brothers and Messiah, because that's all a foreshadow. We're not to be offended when our brothers and sisters in Messiah, even Messianic Jews, will be going to the temple there and worshiping. Because I believe at that time, the power of the Spirit of the living God will be poured out as never before. It'll be as the days of Acts. They'll be going there. They'll be going through all the sacrifices, going through all the rituals. But you know what? It's still going to be empty. Because they haven't seen and received the Messiah. So what the Lord's going to do is He's going to send Messianic Jews and Messianic Christians into their fellowship. And the power of God is going to be manifested as never before. The power of healing. The power of restoration. And so all these things, this is all part of God's plan. This is all part of His foreshadowing of what He desires to do. Amen? Amen. To His name be all praise and glory and honor. Lord says, stop right here. I got about 7 or 8 more pages. I got about another 60 scriptures to share. But the Lord says, no, here is sufficient. You've told them. Because you know what's amazing? Rabbi can attest to this. We study and we study and we study. The Lord gives us so much. And then their time, we're giving a small time frame here. And the Lord gives us so much. And sometimes He just says, just open your mouth and I'll fill it. Amen? Because we're coming to the day and hour when we won't even have those books next to us. And the Spirit of the living God will bring back the Scripture. He'll lay down all the foundation of explaining what His Word is. And it will be ordained from the Lord. And the people of God will know it. Amen? Because they'll bear witness in their heart. Amen? Just like our Chinese brothers and sisters of Messiah, you know what they do? They're being persecuted. It's not being published, but they're being persecuted. And what they'll do is they'll walk out their house and they'll say, Lord, where's service today? I want to get together with my brothers and sisters, Messiah. The Messiah will say, go down this way. The Spirit of the living God will speak to him. Walk down so many blocks, get on this bus, get off the bus, take a cab, borrow someone's bicycle, go here, go there. And they get to the place where they need to be. And there are all the other believers. We are people who are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen? And He will lead and guide us. And if you desire to walk in the power of God, seek after the Lord. Lay aside your carnal nature and allow the Spirit of the living God to do His will in and through your life. That the kingdom of God will be established in your heart and the minds of everyone that you come into contact with. Amen? Amen. There ends the sermon. If I can have Rabbi Ed come forward.